Welcome to San Diego Mission Academy, operated by Alta Vista Public Charter, Inc. It is Tuesday, April the 20th, 2021, at 2:30. On March 17, 2020, Governor Newsom issued executive orders N-2920 related to the COVID-19 pandemic. The executive order allows state bodies covered by the Brown Act to hold public meetings via teleconferencing. The public is encouraged to participate in the meetings telephonically by dialing the conference line listed above. And may submit written comments for prior consideration to the board members. Comments can be submitted to vmendoza@sdmissionacademy.org. Public comment on the day of the meeting can also be given during the public comment section of the meeting agenda. As required by state law, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the charter school's website. So we're going to call this meeting to order. We'll do a roll call and establish a quorum. Cheryl Stanford, present. Claudette Beck.
Present.
Mike Malloy?
Present.
John Dortch?
Present.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Present.
All right, so now we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance. And Mike, would you do that? And everyone else put their phone on mute? Mike, are you on mute?
I sure was. Place your right hand over your heart, and we'll start over again. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. That was wonderful. That's all right. We've all done that. All right. So now we're going to do staff introductions. We'll start with corporate officers. Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Madam President. Good afternoon. Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
All right. Welcome, Mr. Brown. School staff.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Jenna Eunice, Principal at DMA.
And this is Jeff Martino, Vice President, Charter Relations.
All right. School Legal Counsel.
Good afternoon. Bill Thompson. Legal counsel.
Any advisors who are supporting agenda items are presenting.
Good afternoon. This is Kita Sharifi, CFO with LLA. Thank you.
And any other staff who wishes to... Oh, go ahead. I do that to you every time.
That's all right. Hi. It's Michelle Lopez, counsel with LLA.
Okay. I know you're coming. I don't know why I do that. All right. Other staff who would wish to introduce themselves. Anybody else? All right, so we're done with that. So now we're going to go to E, approve agenda for the April 20, 2021 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. I assume that everyone has read that, and can I have a motion and a second to approve 1E?
Mike Malloy makes a motion.
John Dortch, second.
Okay, so Mike Malloy made the motion, John Dortch seconded. So we'll vote. Cheryl Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So E has been approved unanimously. We're now on F, approved minutes of the March 2nd, 2021 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. And this is on pages 6 through 12 in your packet. Can I have a motion and a second to approve these minutes?
Mark Malloy makes a motion.
Barbara Willebrand, second.
All right, so Mark Malloy has motioned and Barbara Willebrand has second. So we'll vote. Cheryl Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 1F has been approved unanimously. So now we're on consent agenda. All items listed under consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. This is A, consent agenda items on pages 14. One, the board will be asked to approve the revised English Learner Master Plan. And two, the board will be asked to approve the revised Employees Handbook. Is there anyone that wants any of these taken off for further consideration? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda, items A, 1, and 2?
Walter Willebrand move.
Clutterbeck second.
Barbara Willebrand moved and Claudette Beck second. We'll vote right now. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Deutsch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 2A, 1, and 2 have been passed unanimously. So now we're in public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. If you would like to participate in public comment, you must have signed in before the commencement of the meeting. Also, our teleconference line is open to members of the public who wish to participate in public comment. The time allotted per presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes the translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. The total time allotted for public comment will not exceed 18 minutes per agenda item or 10 minutes for non-agenda items. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide directions to staff, or reschedule the matter for a future meeting. Shelley, has anyone contacted you from the public?
This is Shelley Sands reporting that there were no members of the public who submitted written comments.
Thank you so much. So now we're on 4, school reports and information, and we will have a principal update by Jenna.
Thank you, Board President. This is Jenna Eunice, San Diego Mission Academy principal. I want to start by highlighting some March events. So in the past 30 days or so, we had several military information sessions. Navy presented, also the Army presented, and we have had two students specifically that I can think of who have signed contracts with the military to enlist after graduation. So we work really closely with those recruiters in that case, and it does seem to be a career field, especially in the San Diego, Southern California area, that's of interest to our students. So we had success with that and had several students attend. We also had some college interest days, so Northeast College presentation, a College 101 presentation where the counselors presented on differences between community colleges and four-year universities. And there is a new program in the Riverside County area that serves all students in Southern California that provides apprenticeships and trade programs. And those are paid apprenticeships and trade programs. And so we've been working really closely with them to learn more about their program. And we have a student who recently signed up as a result of this workshop to earn a paid internship and has found a little bit of motivation, you know, to move faster toward graduation. We also have some writing workshops and a book club that one of our English teachers has continued throughout the past few months, and she's continuing to find some really good success with those. We had a good vibe meetup, kind of a self-compassion workshop for 30 minutes, and sprinkling in those social-emotional opportunities for students to connect, express gratitude, and meditate. We have a frequent and recurring meditation series that students can pop into, and when we do intervention meetings with students who express that they feel overwhelmed, we often, you know, refer them or refer them to those meditation meetings by then having our counselor personally call and invite them, which has been really kind of nice for our students and our staff, actually. We recently did a push to test all of our students in the what I call our district benchmark, our Northwestern Education Association MAPS test, and we did this in February, so before we started state testing. We had an 80% test completion rate just in that one push, so all teachers and tested their own students. So I think there's definitely something to be said for students feeling comfortable with the proctor of the test. And all of our teachers agreed to make this a priority and, you know, to hold off on the APEC learning activities so that we could focus on the validity of this test and showing growth over time. So our goal is to test students at least twice a year and have a baseline score when they enroll, and then they'll test subsequently after their reading, math, social studies classes, those core classes, where we can measure growth in reading, math, and then language for our ELs and special education population. We are also in the midst of state testing frenzy. We are testing remotely, so all of our students need a camera-ready and compatible system in order to test. So we've had our community liaison and our school counselor, you know, delivering laptops and picking up laptops from families and from students who need to complete state testing. We opted to test all students in our 6th through 8th grade and 11th and 12th grade testing cohorts who would be eligible and on a state testing roster. For many classroom-based schools, the testing of the CAS, or the California Assessment of Student Progress, was optional this year. Unfortunately, for non-classroom-based charters, such as ours, it wasn't quite as optional, and we felt that we wanted to have this metric to show that we do value this assessment, and we know that our students are recovering learning loss from previous gaps in education, and despite COVID, you know, are doing quite well, and that's what we're seeing. We've had kind of some humorous stories and some great stories of connection in troubleshooting technology, or you know, having the students be really patient with us as we also navigate, you know, a very complex system of online and remote testing. Other than that, we are looking at our data and building our local control and accountability plan, with which I will discuss further later, and planning for the next 21-22 school year and beyond to increase enrollment while we continue to build a quality program and build, you know, instructional efficacy and that as well. So we have a virtual graduation that we are planning for June 8th. We have just created our save the dates and our graduation invitation, so I will be sure to get that to our board as well, and we would love to have you. That's going to be Tuesday, June 8th, and we gave the graduates the option of a virtual or a drive-up graduation, and our San Diego Mission Academy students felt more comfortable with a virtual graduation. So we're now working to kind of design that in a way that really personalizes the experience for them. And so far we have, I think, 5 students who have RSVP'd. And we are looking forward to having students graduate up through May 30th to attend that graduation ceremony. So, I think that concludes my report for now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jenna. Any questions or comments from our board? All right. We appreciate all you do, Jenna. That's wonderful. Let's go to Finance Update B with Gita.
Hello, board. This is Gita with LLAC. So I have two updates for the board. One is that the school was awarded a grant to the state of California, and this is one of those one-time grants. Due to COVID, it's called Expanded Learning Opportunity. So the grant total is $100,989, and this amount, of that amount, 8.5% of it must be used on paraprofessionals. So basically, it must be restricted to paraprofessional, which equates to $8,599. The rest of it is going to also be based on some guidelines where when the budget is presented to the board, you'll see that as an additional funding and where the expenses will fall that is funded by this grant. And this is, again, a one-time funding. And about 50% of the money will be received by the school in May of 2021. and 50% will be received in August of 2021. And the funds must be spent by August of 2022. The second update I have is if you refer to page 132 in the packet, we went ahead and included a summary for the Hanmi Bank line of credit. I know some of you have some questions. This basically should be able to answer all of your questions if there's any questions as far as the interest rate, the expiration date, the amount of the loan, a line of credit that the school has, also the expanded line of credit, if any. So this has a summary page for your reference if you ever needed to reference the material. So I'll be happy to answer any question. That concludes my section. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gita. This is Carol Stanford. Any other comments from the board members? That's nice to hear about that money that is going to help us. That's a good thing. All right, let's go to C, LCAP goals and metrics. This is Jenna.
Hello again, board. This is Jenna. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the local control and accountability plan. This is a current, literally this morning I was working on this, a current work in progress that is due to the state by the end of the month. So we're doing a lot of data digging and reviewing, you know, past accomplishments and areas of growth in creating goals for the future. So the local control and accountability plan is a three-year plan now from 2021 to 2024 that describes the goals, action, services, and expenditures that support positive student outcomes and address state and local priorities. So the LCAP provides an opportunity for us as a local education agency to share the stories of how, what, and why our programs and services are selected and how they meet the needs of our local population. So we ask for input from students and use data from students throughout the year. We use data in the individual student parent conferences, IEPs, feedback that we hear from parents in meetings, as well as specific LCAP and stakeholder surveys and meetings held for parents and staff, and welcome input from our community partners, including our board. What are we doing well? What do we need to work on? And how do we know, you know, and how will we know when we've achieved that? So last year, the local control and accountability plan was put on hold by the state legislature due to COVID, and it was replaced by something called the learning continuity and attendance plan, or learning continuity plan. And that was to create a plan to address any new learning context created by the pandemic, potential learning loss, and to account for the funds that the state awarded due to COVID, and make sure that schools were accountable in spending those responsibly. So currently we're examining the school performance data and developing goals and actions that address eight state priorities. Those state priorities have required metrics that address three main ideas, which are the conditions of learning, pupil outcomes, and engagement. Schools are also asked to utilize local metrics specific to the program. And so I'll review those, and then if there is any input or consultation, we will definitely take that into consideration for any input and consultation from all of you in finishing our LCAP and submitting that by the end of the month. We have also asked stakeholders to provide consultation in support of this process and plan to have another meeting to review our LCAP as we finalize it so that we can show our stakeholders, parents, students, staff, you know, how we took their input into consideration. So we have four goals for the 21 to 24 LCAP. One is to increase academic progress. That's a focused goal that takes into consideration both those state and local priorities. And it's quite a wide goal, actually. It includes everything from highly qualified teachers in appropriate assignments to the Lexile or quantile growth in reading and math, which we are currently using that Northwestern Education Association math test to measure that. We are looking at the average number of courses completed, not just credits, but courses, because our students work in a learning management system, and we report credits five at a time. So students don't receive five credits until they've completed that course. So looking at that data and how we can increase the average number of courses completed, because we know that courses complete lead to graduation paths completed. We are closely monitoring our English learner reclassification and annual growth on the LPAC. We are utilizing the LPAC scores, the English Language Proficiency Examination scores, to accommodate students and to differentiate instruction in core academic areas as well as in English language instruction. And we, of course, monitor our 12th grade cohort, our graduation cohort, very closely. And that's actually a metric that we have really excelled upon. We are higher than state and our authorizing district in our graduation percentage. We're above 90% of that cohort, so we're proud of that. Our second goal is a broad goal that students will gain skills for college and career readiness. That includes making sure we implement and use standard aligned material that our curriculum is accessible for our target population, students who have high needs, EL, special education, students who experience challenges that are unique to what a traditional high school student might experience, poverty, violence in the home, parenting, refugee status, those kinds of things. We look at statewide assessments, the CAS exam, for example, in English Language Arts, Math, and Science. We ensure that we have personalized learning plans up to date that include students' post-secondary plans from the time of enrollment and then are checked throughout the year so that we are appropriately assigning courses for students' post-secondary goals. And we offer a broad range of coursework so that students have choice or can experience perhaps a an elective course that may give them an idea of a future area of study. We are more thoroughly tracking A through G course completion than we have before. San Diego is, this will be our third year of operation. So it's been really exciting to see that growth and kind of put some of these things into place and have data now to reflect on. Our third and fourth goal are maintenance goals or progress goals. They are to increase student retention and increase stakeholder engagement. So we look at things like our non-completer rate or our dropout rate, which has been under 10%, which is our goal. No suspensions or expulsions. We do utilize a restorative practice approach in discipline for students. We have very, very low rates of discipline incidents online, but when we do take a very restorative approach. Retention and attendance. Our goal is 85% attendance or higher. Our San Diego Mission Academy attendance has been steadily rising throughout the past, I would say, for this school year from July 1st through our seventh learning period, our third quarter, and we had a 78% attendance rate in March of 2021, which is pretty remarkable considering the pandemic and the learning loss and lack of engagement. And we made it a goal this year to really try and engage our students and our parents and to not let them, disappear or, fade into the back of the classroom, if you will, even in this virtual setting. We've also maintained a steady enrollment. So although we haven't grown exponentially this year, we are still 50 or so students above our true funding. And we've stayed really steady at that enrollment despite students coming and going. So we've been at about 160, and we're hoping that with things returning to more normal, that we will have students who want to come to a trauma-informed and restorative school with a quality, integral, and efficient high school program. So those are the four goals moving forward. And from here, as you heard, Ms. Gita in the financial report, the state is providing an extended learning opportunity grant, which has funds that must be used toward EL students, English learners, and we've also identified that as a need. We are seeing an increase in English learners in enrollment, and that is really, really difficult to do online. It is very difficult to navigate the complex English language, you know, in a classroom with environmental supports and a teacher who's in front of you in three dimension. And so we definitely know that we may be getting refugee students, and we may be receiving students who are English learners and who can't attend a school every day. So our independent study virtual program may be a good option. We just have to figure out how we can continue our high level of support and quality program for those students. And we do plan to hire an EL instructional specialist who is bilingual and or an EL paraprofessional. And my preference would be both if we can arrange that with those finances. So we're continuing with staff training in trauma-informed practices in order to support the increased social-emotional needs that we know all of our students and staff, you know, will need as we return to this new normal, and putting into place some great retention practices, such as continuing to send care packages and rolling out a multi-tiered system of success that starts with a new orientation program, clear communication, parent invites to monthly meetings with teachers and administration as well. So looking forward to a really, really wonderful third year and moving toward a more successful and profitable future. So thank you very much. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer those.
Jenna, this is Carol Stanford. I'm really, you're going to have a lot more EL students, it looks like, and I'm glad you're getting ready for it, and appreciate all the hard work that you're doing. I'm glad those funds came available. Anybody else on the board want to make a discussion, have a comment or a question? All right. Thank you so much. So we're going to move to action items. This is 5. The board will be asked to approve the revised charter school accounting manual. And this is Geeta.
Hello, board. Again, this is Geeta Charity with LLAC. So if you refer to the manual section on the PDF, you can refer to pages 137 to 138. As you know, the manual is a fluid document, so if there's any new regulations, we recommend those to the school governance, and it'll be included in the manual and then presented at the board. This section was just a section where we decided to recommend because of the uncertainties of the financials and the cash reserve for the school, the deferrals, the COVID-19 impact to the school. The school never had any cash reserve policy. So based on the regulations, the charter schools don't really require to have a cash reserve policy. The district schools do require by CDE. So we do recommend to the management that they should have a cash reserve policy. So based on that and based on reviewing what the districts do and the FICMAT, the oversight committee for the schools in general, we came up with a cash reserve policy that we recommend to the board to adopt. And you can see the summary on page 137, and then it was incorporated into that section of the packet for the manual. And that concludes my section. So if there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Geeta. Any questions or comments from the board members? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 5A?
Mike Malloy, seconds.
I'm sorry I didn't get the motion. Who made the first?
I think Mike Malloy makes the motion. How's that?
Okay, that's good. Now I need to
Walker Willebrand, second.
All right. I thought maybe I wasn't hearing. All right, so Mike Malloy has moved, Barbara Willebrand has second, and we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Hold on.
Aye.
Claudette Beck, aye.
Aye.
Mike Malloy,
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
All right, so that passes. So now, I dropped my paper. We'll go to additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
Thank you very much, Ms. President. I'm really impressed with the broader scope that we're providing for our students, the military presentations, the college presentations, including those other items. And the reason I'm impressed with that is we know that when our students attend, we're going to be able to provide them with an education. We know that they're going to get their diploma, and now happens. They're going to move on. And reaching out beyond just what we teach daily to give those opportunities for them to look beyond what they're doing now, I'm very impressed with that. So congratulations again, Jenna. I appreciate it, and I thank the board for their dedication and their work on these programs. So I appreciate it all, and I'll turn it back to you, Madam President.
All right. Appreciate so much, Jenna, everything that you're doing, and such a wide range of programs offered for so many different kids. Any other board members have any comments? If not, we're going to go to the closing item, number 7. And I just wanted to make a comment. It says, A, the next board meeting date is May 18th. I did not have those meetings on my calendar. I just brought my calendar out. So these are all new. And it looks like there's quite a few even on the 18th. So that'd be something that, Shelley, if you could send us an update on that would help.
Definitely. I'd be happy to.
All right. So can I have a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting?
John Dorch, move.
Barbara Willebrand, second.
All right, so John Dorch has moved, Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford? Aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Aye.